Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 1 Samuel. If you're in a place where you can grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
He also took, notice verse 8, he attacked them, he pushed them back. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them, but everything despised and worthless that they utterly destroyed. Now, obviously, phase one, lesson one, main thought in this is, did he follow the instructions that the Lord gave him? It's quite obvious to us as we read through it. No, he didn't. Did you notice the rationale, though, that was used in this? What was the rationale? What was the thought process in this? And this is important. This really helps us to understand our own character a little bit, is he stepped into the place of making decisions on what was to be destroyed and what wasn't. What he felt was maybe still useful and what maybe wasn't useful. Because sometimes when God tells us to do something, it doesn't always make total perfect sense to us, maybe. God's God and we're us and, you know, God knows what he's doing, but to us, it just doesn't always make the right kind of sense. Well, why would he have God ask me to do that? Or why would the Bible say this? And I, you know, that was applicable then. That really doesn't fit today. And, you know, all this rationale, and we start trying to decide, well, God didn't know how, you know, people are different then than they are today. No, that's not true. God knows exactly what he's doing. People are people. People are the same 2,000 years ago as they were 5,000 years ago. People are people. I know our lifestyles change. I know different things change culturally. I understand all that. But the base aspect of humanity hasn't changed that much when you look at it and study through it and study through worship tendencies and all these different things. Certainly, the pride of humanity. His name, Agag, means, I will succeed, or I will not be overtaken, or those are the kind of things that means. I'm going to succeed. That's what his name means, except for in this situation against God. Certainly, pride puts us in this spot of making these decisions for ourselves that I'm going to keep the king alive. Why would he want to even do that? Agag was something that then he would kind of chain up and then parade around through in front of everybody as he is, Saul then would be seen as this big victor, you see, over this, I'll just bind him up and that'll be good enough and I'll parade him around. Pride's doing that. But that very thing, as we go back out into the chapters a little bit further, we find out that's the very thing that ends up killing him. Ultimately, there was enough time. We don't always know the time spans that elapse in these little portions of Scripture. But obviously, there was enough time for him to have Agag had interactions with some other gal there. Ultimately, there's this offspring. And one of these offspring ends up being the one that ultimately thrusts Saul through. When he tried, remember, he tried to fall on his sword and kill himself. And then remember, you go back into 2 Samuel chapter 1, you realize, oh no, it wasn't. He didn't quite do himself in. And then this young Amalekite shows up and ends up thrusting him through. You see, that the lesson in that for all of us is that's what the flesh will do to you and me and anyone else. Ultimately, if we don't deal with it, it will get us. And that's just a simple Bible truth. And it goes on and on through Scripture like that. And the necessity of dealing with it ourselves. This is what he was told to do, but he didn't do it. He really wants to parade, you know, the king around and show everybody, I've got it under control. Think about that. Think about how that illustration might work for you and me. Instead of utterly destroyed, no, I understand. I got that part kind of under control, man. That's not a problem for me, man, you know. It's, look, I got it chained up. Oh, yeah. isn't it easy for us to get that kind of stuff in our minds like this? Now, in verse 10, the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king. Now, I know sometimes when we read, in, for example, King James Version, this is New King James Version I'm using, but when you use King James Version, oftentimes it will say repent. And in that, the word repent is interchangeable. I like the New King James for this because it shows us a different term. A lot of times it just reads repent, repent, repent. Well, and then it says God is not a man that he should repent. And so, well, did he repent or did he not repent? Well, the word's interchangeable with regret or relent. There's some interchangeable aspects to this. And so when we get to this, we start to see he's grieved with the outcome that has taken place. I have to tell you, as we think about, you know, Saul being king, you understand that in Deuteronomy, God purposed for there to be a king. He made provision for that in Deuteronomy, that there would be a king. He purposed for that. The idea, because he knows that ultimately the people are going to, this is going to be something that's going to happen. And God needs to do this, right? Because his plan is to, through that king, ultimately create a line that leads to the person of Jesus Christ, right? So that this is all part of the plan. But what happened was the people jumped ahead of they were jumping the gun a little bit on the plan. And they chose, they wanted someone, and they wanted a Saul-type figure who ultimately then was destructive and it wasn't good versus the real choice, which was a David. And we'll get to that as we get into chapter 16. I know, not tonight. Just we'll get there though. The word of the Lord came to him saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from, what is his issue? He has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel. Samuel was totally bummed out about this. And he cried out to the Lord all night. Now, what a great heart that Samuel has as he sees this, you know, he could have just said, oh man, why did you have me? I knew this guy was a bad seed. You know, why did you get me involved in this, God? You know, he's not angry with God. He's just grieved that this is not gone in the way that he'd like to have seen it go. He's discouraged by that. He's bummed out by that. He's grieved about it. He's upset. And so when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, you know, I'm sure Samuel loved Saul. I'm sure Samuel thought Saul was a great guy to some extent. He sees the weakness and stuff, but, you know, he loved him. And now it's gone bad, and it's just a bummer. And it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself. And he has gone around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. And then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, now, Saul knows what he's done and what he's not done, right? Saul knows who he is, just like we all know who we are. He knows what he's done and what he's not done. Check this out in verse 13. So he comes up to Saul, knows Samuel's coming. He goes out to me. He says, oh, blessed are you of the Lord. Praise God, praise God. You know how that kind of thing can go sometimes. I've performed all the commandment of the Lord. It's a lot of Christianese. You know, it's got a lot of right verbiage, but not the right thing going on, huh? We've got to listen, don't we, with discernment. Is it just Christians speak, or is this something that really matches up, you know? And this was not matching up for him at all. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Really? Is that what we know from what we've read? You know, certainly not. That wasn't exactly what happened. But Samuel said, you know, Samuel's older dude, pretty perceptive, kind of just like, what then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears? And the lowing of the oxen, which I hear. I mean, I hear what's going on. Well, what are you doing with all that stuff? If you did all the commandment of the Lord, how do you have all that stuff? Where'd all that all come from? It's interesting to me how the flesh tries to cover up the lack of spiritual interaction or correctness or correct actions. You know, the flesh tries to cover up. In other words, it's almost overbearing. It's too much. It's too much emphasis on this. You know, praise the Lord, glad you're here. Samuel, been waiting for you. This is, you know, just, you know, you can just see this whole kind of thing playing out. And yet, now he goes, wait a minute, whoa, ho, ho, what's going on? Something's not right. Saul's response gets interesting. He said in verse 15, they have brought them from the Amalek. Isn't that just like the flesh too? Now it's really, there's no personal responsibility taken for any of this, right? I'm kind of a victim of this situation here, you know? It was like, you remember with, Aaron, we just threw this stuff in the fire and poof, this golden calf came out. It was crazy. Gosh, Moses, I wish you were here to see that. I mean, it was a miracle. I mean, then everybody just started worshiping. I don't know what was going on. And, right. We know that's not true, right? That wasn't really what happened. But it kind of gets distorted. The flesh has a tendency to do this. They have brought them. So now it's this abstract they, whoever they are, they have brought them from the Amalekites. Notice what it says. For the people spared the best. There's no person. It's every other people. It just happened. And these people, they just did this, Well, did you do anything to stop them? Aren't you the king? You can imagine what Samuel must be thinking in his mind. Gee, dude, are you kidding me? That's a modern version, of course, of it. For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice. It's for a good cause. Gosh, Samuel, this is for God, Oh, man, this is great stuff. This is the thing. Does that end justify the means by which they got this stuff? And was it obedient unto the Lord? Because really, God asks us to do as he says, period. That's what he asks of us. Let's go on. He says that we got these are here are to sacrifice to the Lord our God in the latter part of verse 15, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. So I got to get my utterly destroyed in there. I did do a little bit of that too, But isn't that like the flesh? Well, I know that was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. But I read 10 minutes this morning. I read a chapter and a half. That's slow reading, I know. Some of us read slower than others. But you know what I'm saying, though. This idea of you're going to mix in the, but I did this. Let's get into this. This gets really interesting. And then Samuel said to Saul, be quiet. At least he didn't say shut up or something, huh? At least he's a polite old guy. Be quiet. And I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, speak on. So Saul just looked at Samuel. Okay, go ahead. What'd he say? So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? He says, remember when you were humble? Remember when you didn't have such a lofty view of yourself? And I think this is important. Tonight, for just a moment, as believers, for those of us who are walking with the Lord, as Christians, as believers, I think, and I don't think it's of great value to spend all our time dwelling in some past thing. My life was just a shambles, and I was beat down and destroyed. I was ruining myself on substance and alcohol and all kinds of other things. Whatever your struggles might have been, they could be various and different of all sorts. Whatever, you were at the end of yourself, and we cried out to the Lord at some point. Out of total humility and total understanding that we're nobodies and nothings, and that, man, if God, if you'll take my life, man, if you'll take my life. And we were in a place of total humility. And I think it's sometimes not to just dwell there or camp out in the negativity of the past, but to remember that place where we were prior to God coming into our lives and us starting to follow him. Because as we follow him, there are benefits to us as believers. I tell this to young people, how important it is when you get to a certain age that you actually begin to make that transition from your parents' relationship with God to your own personal relationship with God. Because your parents can't get you, they can buy you a lot of stuff, but they can't buy you everlasting life. You're on your own. That's between you and Jesus Christ. And that's it. There's no one else that can do that for you. And it's great your parents led you to that place of decision, but the rest of it is up to you. And you have to make that and follow through with that on your own. That place of humility, knowing that I need God and how dependent I am totally on God. He says, remember when you were small in your own eyes? He says, man, God put you as the leader, and now the Lord sent you on a mission. He's given you a task. The creator of the universe has appointed you to be ruler over the people, and he's given you a task. You see, I read that, I say, God's given us a task. God's given you a task. God's given me a task. We have a task. You realize when you read into Matthew and you get to the very end of Matthew, you're commissioned. You've got a purpose. You and all of us, that's not for the missionaries. It's wherever you go. Go to the grocery store, go down to this park, go anywhere you go. You and I take the gospel with us wherever we go. We've got a mission. We've got a purpose. It's to glorify God and to point other people to his son, Jesus Christ. It's not complicated, and I'm thankful for that. It helps guys like me out. Keep it simple. The Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites. Fight against them until they are consumed. That was your instructions, was it not? You know, this is kind of the dialogue. Wasn't that what the Lord told you to do? You know, when we read through, does the Bible tell you and I to pacify the flesh? Does it say to entertain the flesh? Does it say to flirt with your flesh? Does the Bible tell us any of those things? We'll get into it a little bit in our conclusion tonight, but it doesn't say any of those things, certainly not. Man, he says, you are to consume them, utterly destroy. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Samuel just likes, you know, kind of, you can just see the guy just like, didn't he make you king? Hasn't he done good things for you? See, I think of us as being believers for a while. We're walking with the Lord. Hasn't God been good to you? God owes me nothing. I assure you, zero. Nothing. I have been blessed way beyond what I could ever imagine or would ever deserve. And God has been so faithful in my life. And I am so thankful to the Lord for that. But he owes me nothing. At all. And I think it's so important as I journey along, as you journey along, as we journey along with God, that we maintain that. Because it's easy to kind of slip into, you know, maybe we had something to do with how things are going for us. It's just weird how it's just the flesh is kind of, it's that rear flank just kind of comes in there and kind of subtly seeps in. And yeah, you know, that was a pretty good decision there, you know, that I made to, you know. It just kind of creeps in. That was a good deal that I made on that, you know? Until it goes bad. I've had a few of those things happen. I've had great entertainment times with myself on this, thinking that I maybe had something to do with something, and then, you know, I was pretty involved in it then until it went really bad, and it's like, well, gosh, Lord, I prayed about this. I don't see why. Why have you put me through this? You know, it's just funny stuff, but it's the truth, isn't it? It's what happens. The flesh and the spirit battling within us. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? Don't you love this level? I love this level of confrontation that Samuel does with Saul the king. It's because of the Lord. He's not doing this to defend anything of himself. He's just saying, wait a minute. This isn't what, that's not the mission. What's going on? I think often about the body of Christ. And not so much, you know, I think often about our body here, of course, but I mean, the body at large. And I think about our mission, our calling, our purpose, and what God's purpose for us to do. And what we, as the body overall, get sidetracked on. The conversations we have. See, this is what you're going to find with me, is if you want to get into a bunch of debates about, you know, once saved, always saved, or all kinds of different things, you're probably going to talk to the wrong guy. I would much rather say, hey, that's great. Go get some CDs and listen to all that you want, or go on the internet and look up all that you want. Do whatever you want with it. I'm looking out there and I'm going, man, there is a big world of perishing people that don't have any understanding or have any real knowledge of the person of Jesus Christ, and that they could even have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I would much rather invest my time and my energy in that. But you get what I'm saying? Why camp as Christians on all these? That's satanic of its origin. Not the questions, not the pursuit of understanding, but of its origin to create unnecessary debate and overbearing discussions so that the Christians that are around you, working in their booths and cubicles around you, listening in, at a lunchroom to you debating with other Christians, and they're just thinking, I want nothing to do with that. Who cares? So you got to put yourself back where you were sometimes and see that. Man, he confronts this stuff head on. We have a mission. What happened to the mission? Think about it. Wouldn't it be better if we were confronted directly with our mission? Let's be busy about the mission. There's all kinds of lies out there. I don't spend all my time on that. I want to spend my time on the truth. If you know the truth, you'll recognize the lie. If you're a bank teller, what do they give you to handle all the time? What do they give you to handle? They give you the real deal so that when you touch that and you feel that over and over again, you're going to know when you all of a sudden, whoa, that does not seem right. If you know the truth, you'll recognize the lie. I'd rather invest all the truth I can in any person I get a chance with. Because if I invest the truth in you, you're going to recognize a lie when it comes across your path. I don't need to wave a flag at this little thing of heresy that's blowing around or that little thing of disagreement that's blowing around. We don't need to focus on all that. Let's focus on the person of Jesus Christ. Let's stay with the mission. Let's accomplish the task that God's purpose for us in our lives personally, in our city environment here, in our metropolitan area in which we live, in our nation in which is perishing without Jesus Christ. We're in trouble, people. This country's in serious trouble. We need revival in this nation bad. Bad, bad, bad. And there's not a solid believer that I've ever encountered that wouldn't agree with that. And I don't care what their doctrine or background, we need Jesus bad. Back into, man, that's a whole nother thing, isn't it? But I have obeyed, He answers, this is his answer in verse 20. Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. The flesh is very defensive, isn't it? I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. He didn't really hear what Samuel was saying to him, did he? The flesh is blinded, isn't it? This is why, oh Lord, keep us humble, soft, pliable, able to receive, able to follow instruction. But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back King Agag, look, I've got him chained up over here. He got loose a few times and impregnated a few people maybe, but he's right here, you know? Think about that. I've got him right here. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. My notes I wrote to myself, the flesh is deceptive. And not only is it deceptive, but it creates a distortion on the truth. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks for listening again today, and we're just so thankful for those of you who tune in and are getting something out of these messages from God's Word. And sometimes God really begins to tug on our hearts, and he kind of calls us out for a response. And sometimes we want to go and work at something and kind of earn our way into things. But, you know, with God, it's just not that way. His Word says, for by grace, that's unmerited love and favor that's been shown to you. That's what that word grace means. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God wants you to walk in those good works that he's prepared for your life. He wants you to be a living testament of his goodness and his grace. And he doesn't want you to have to work at or earn salvation, but salvation is a free gift. It's by faith that you can have this everlasting life. Simple prayer of faith. Jesus, I want to ask that you would come into my heart, that you would forgive me of all my sin. I want this free gift of everlasting life. I want to be forgiven. I'm tired of carrying this weight of sin and shame. And I want to ask, Lord, that you would come into my heart and be my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for that grace that you have shown me. I receive you now into my heart,
and ask, Lord, that as I walk this life, that you would walk with me, and that I would walk in your ways and in the good works, those things that you prepared for me to walk in, that it might glorify you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you may be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, we meet in Overland Park on Sunday mornings. The service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.